Welcome to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. Retail outlets know that location matters, but what they don't often know is how much it matters. Mark Riske has tracked retail trends for decades as CEO of Headcount. His latest book, Store Traffic is a Gift, explores why data about sales trends means nothing if people don't buy anything in a store. And location intelligence can help explain why some stores are underperforming or outright failing.
The world is in a constant state of flux. People move, urban development, commercial development, competitive landscape. Looking back at the geospatial data may provide some really important insights that could help refine and modify thinking of what you do day to day in the store.
Mark Riske talks to Esri retail expert Gary Sankari about how validating data through location intelligence can lead to millions in increased revenue.
Hi, Mark. Welcome to Esri and the Science of Wear podcast.
Good to be here, Gary. Thank you for inviting me.
So, Mark, the conventional wisdom out there is that a perfect location guarantees company success. But you caution companies against relying only on location to drive that success. Why do you feel that way?
Well, location is the foundation for success, and that hasn't changed. It may be more important today than ever, but it's only the start. You can locate your store in the ideal location, but if that store doesn't execute within the four walls, you're not going to see the outcomes that you're expecting. And that's why I think you can't rely only on location or geospatial data, but it's the important place to start.
But how does location intelligence allow a company to diagnose whether a store's performance is being maximized or happening at least at a strategic level?
Well, if the store is located in an area that has favorable demographics and all the geospatial data points in the direction of success, then one would expect great outcomes. But again, if the business does not execute within those four walls, they're just not going to see the outcomes that they're looking for. And that's where traffic and shop and conversion data really come to play and really inform what else may be going on. The store may receive a lot of traffic, and that could be indicative of putting that store in the ideal location. But if the store is understaffed, so that the outcomes just won't be desirable. That tells us something important. That physical business may be in the right location from a demographic standpoint, but perhaps those visitors are just not finding that location. So if traffic is not there, that tells us something about how that business is communicating to the market. Are they drawing people into their location? If they're drawing people into the location and traffic volume in that business is high and trending high, but conversion rates, whatever conversion may be in a retail store, that's a sale, but in a bank or a service bureau or any other kind of operation that receives visitors, what is the conversion signal? What is the measure of that success? And if they're not converting, or they're not converting the mission, whether that's serving customers in a bank or what have you, then that tells us everything about the problem is happening within the four walls. And they need to look at other factors beyond the location.
As a retail veteran, I'm thinking about when we opened a flagship store right in the middle of our headquarters downtown area. We had tremendous traffic. It was on a main thoroughfare, and it's also in downtown Minneapolis. So we had a skyway system where it just funneled people past the store, but they weren't buying. And what we realized was, you know, the reason we aren't converting is that the products in the store, especially from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, when the downtown population changes significantly, because back then we had a lot of suburban commuters coming in, and they're looking for entirely different products. And had we merchandised the store to look like what we thought were going to be the people who lived in and around, which were the condo owners and communities right around the store who probably weren't shopping downtown, especially during that particular time.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And, that's another powerful, I think, advantage that geospatial data offers. And that is making sure that product mix is right based on the types of consumers and visitors that you have in that trading area?
We used to hear a lot of naysayers talk about the retail apocalypse, which I think most of us who had been around the business for a long time understood that just wasn't a thing. So here we are, 6 years past, the coffee shops, the barbers, all of those different retail businesses that, you know, there's a lot of businesses that just don't have an online opportunity. But even the ones that do, online shopping is still dwarfed compared to in-store experiences. 80% of retail sales still happen in the store.
I think what this comes down to is shopping is still very much a human experience. And people want immediacy. They want the ability to discover new things and interact. It's a very human experience. And I think that that in part explains the resilience of the physical location and why it not only is as relevant as it ever was, but perhaps even more relevant. Because the truth of the matter is the very best retail operators know that not only do they have to run great stores, but they also have to run great online sites because the two work together in very important ways. Online visits are precursors to in-store sales. In-store visits can be precursors to online purchases. The best retailers are doing both.
If I think about the way we've talked about this over time, the term that makes the most sense today is unified commerce. And I think the successful retailers understand that blend of different channels, but anchored on that store experience. How can you help these retailers to figure out what's working and how they can replicate that in some of their other locations to really get those same kind of results?
Well, you know, there's an approach that online retailers and e-commerce players have been doing from the inception of online retailing, and that's something called conversion rate optimization. And in just simple terms, all that means is how can they continue to tweak, modify, adjust their e-commerce site to increase the ability of shoppers who visit that site to put something in that basket, check out, and buy. The same thinking applies to physical stores. You know what? If you think about it, each physical store is like its own website. It receives traffic, and that traffic is measured through the number of people that are coming through the front of the store, through the door. And then when they get to the store, just like visiting a website, they have an experience. They wander around, they look at goods, they engage with sales associates or other team members, and they either buy or they don't. And when you study the traffic patterns and compare that to the conversion rates right down to the hour of the day, just like you might do on an online website, you start to see patterns emerge. You start to see things like sags in conversion rates at times of days or days of week. And when you can pinpoint where these conversion sags are happening, then you're in a far better position to make adjustments operationally. And so in the online world, that may mean changing the colors or how you present offers or if you offer discounts. For the in-store experience, that often means how much labor do you have serving those shoppers? How well-trained are they? What is the checkout experience, etc.? All these are factors that can be adjusted, manipulated, and ultimately tweaked and improved to improve conversion rates.
Does applying geographic lens to that particular data help to understand why temporally it may be different between 12 and 1 versus between 7 and 8 in the evening in any given location?
Well, it certainly might. I suspect that the way a lot of retailers in any event would look at geospatial data is largely around location decisions. But I think there's a great opportunity for retailers to also reapply or revisit that geospatial data, because the truth of the matter is the world is in a constant state of flux. People move, urban development, commercial development, competitive landscape. And so when you start to try to understand what may be going on in that store, looking back at the geospatial data may provide some really important insights that could help refine and modify thinking of what you do day to day in the store.
When a company's opening 150, 200 stores a year, growth is, it just happens organically. And it also covers a lot of errors. Today, we're not, most of our larger companies especially, and I'm sure a lot of the companies that you work with are not in this massive growth mode, but they're still being tapped to provide that 7, 10% comp store growth every year. And able to be able to do that, they really got to drive incremental growth and do more with the locations that they have. How do you help people to get to that level of understanding?
Well, I think the first step is to understand where all the how all the stores are performing relative to each other. And so we map not only traffic volume, but conversion rates for all the stores in the chain. And by mapping the traffic versus conversion for the conversion rates in all the stores, you start to see patterns emerge. You see stores that have high traffic and high conversion rates. These are among the best performing stores. But you'll also see stores that have low traffic but high conversion. These are prime stores to be looking back at the geospatial data to verify and validate, has something changed in the broader context in which that store resides? Because something may have changed. These are low traffic stores. Then, of course, we also have stores that have low traffic and low conversion. These are stores that both are challenged from a traffic standpoint, but also are not performing well within the four walls of the store. These are troubled stores that need both a review of their geospatial data to validate or double check the assumptions about the demographics and market opportunity are still valid. And then very finally, what we find is a fourth group of stores that have high traffic but low conversion. So to summarize, you need to start by mapping where the performance is, how each of the stores are performing relative to each other, then you can start to understand which lever you need to pull to improve performance.
No, that makes sense. I'm going to love that you have that mapped out so they can see if there's any kind of pattern in that data. I mean, it's instantly accessible. How are you using that to really give that data new strategic relevance?
Well, I'll take it to the retail store context. If you have a store that has high traffic but low conversion rates, the first place to look is staff scheduling and the amount of labor that's being applied to that location. You see, by and large, these kinds of resources are allocated based on the outcomes that are being produced. The first place to look is staff. Staff and frontline labor have the greatest ability to influence those conversion rates. But unfortunately, if the sales outcomes are low, even if traffic is high, they get less labor. And when they get less labor, traffic keeps coming in, conversion rates sag, and they continue to not get labor. And so labor is the first place to start. But you know what? There's lots of reasons why people visit stores and leave without buying. Another big one is just having the right product. And this is where geospatial really comes into play, because you can really refine that product mix within that particular location. If conversion rates are not high, perhaps that product mix isn't right, or the people can't easily buy it or find it within the store. So the only way to know for sure is to experiment and to tease this out. And you do that by studying the data. Where are conversion rates sagging and what's happening at those times?
So using geospatial to help understand who these customers are to improve relevancy. That's what I'm kind of teasing out of that.
That's exactly right. And remember, that changes over time. So what might have been the ideal demographic profile at one point may have changed or shifted. And let's not forget the competitive landscape and how that could also impact the results in any given location.
Which is all geospatial in nature.
Uniquely, it's geospatial. I can't tell you how many retailers have asked me, how do I compare versus my competitors? And the truth of the matter is, I can't tell them that. That's proprietary information that only the retailer has. But geospatial data can inform those kinds of competitive changes in the landscape like no other tool or device that I've ever encountered. I think it comes down to clear all the ways this data can be leveraged. And you know what? I think blending it and combining it with geospatial data is something that still I don't think is being done very broadly. And hopefully that'll change. And I think by bringing this data together to understand the context outside the store and then using the data that we compile and analyze in the store, I think you really get a complete picture of what's going on and, importantly, what actions you should take to change outcomes.
So the discussion that we've been having, we've focused on retail, but when I walk through the skyways or I walk through a downtown, I see retailers, but I also see banks. I see healthcare clinics. I see government offices. I see a lot of different businesses that are all trying to interact with consumers and provide them with experiences. Are the lessons of traffic and conversion applicable across the business spectrum?
I think any environment that receives visitors, as you just described, banks, clinics, public offices, museums, art galleries, we've tracked traffic in churches, in casinos. Here's one for you. We've tracked traffic into restrooms in an airport so that the maintenance staff know based on the number of visits to a restroom when they need to go and reset, you know, the supplies, et cetera. So whether it's how you staff the number of bank tellers and how many transactions you process or patients you see.
So to sort of sum it up, if I'm a business that, again, deals with visitors, and I need to understand who my folks are, what are some of the key takeaways that you would offer for them to dramatically improve those conversion rates, regardless of what the conversion metric is for that specific line of business?
Well, it would be great to have dramatic improvements. But I'll tell you this, what I've learned doing this work for more than 20 years, it's the incremental improvements that you make every hour of every day. You know what? Improving conversion rate in a retail in a retail enterprise, even by 100 basis points or 1 point improvement across a large enterprise, can deliver tens or even hundreds of millions of dollars of incremental revenue. And so that's what I encourage anyone who uses this data to focus on.
And Mark, how does location intelligence help a company to diagnose when something might be amiss within those four walls at a strategic level?
Well, I think what happens is that over time, things change. Demographics change. There's urban commercial development. The competitive landscape is changing. And so what may have been true at one point may change over time. And so when a retailer starts to see traffic wane in their location or conversion rates start to diminish, I would urge them to look back at that geospatial data to validate if the location is still the right place for the right audience. And that's why I think geospatial and store traffic data, when combined, really produce powerful and truly unique insight.
Well, Mark, this has been really enlightening. Thank you for taking this time with me today.
Thank you, Gary. It's been my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Esri and the Science of Wear podcast. And thanks to Mark Riske. If you like this episode, please share it with a colleague.